good morning, brothers and sisters of BTS family, because BTS has been God's family to me since 2011. Wow, it's been 10 years. It's been 10 years. I want to bring greetings from Shalom Baptist Chapel as well. And thank you, Pastor Annie. Thank you, BTS, for inviting me to share a word of encouragement on Tuesday morning chapel service. It is really wonderful being able to see familiar faces and also new faces. Just thinking about how God is faithfully using BTS to continue doing the work of equipping His people from different parts of the world in every year, in every season, despite whether there is pandemic or not, God is still working through BTS. So I thank God for that. So some of you may know me even after my graduation, because on and off, I still come for audit classes. I think I see Christian. I think I know you through audit classes. One of the students ever jokingly said that it's like Faith never graduated. And I still remember, this thing that I thought to myself in my final semester in 2015, as I was listening to my first year schoolmates of what they were learning through their first year courses. And I thought to myself, oh no, I don't feel ready to graduate now, because it feels that whatever they are learning, I also want to learn some more. In reality, right, learning really never ends. And the next 6 years just flew by as I continued learning so much more in the field. There's always something new for myself every year in ministry. And I always say that it never gets dull. But I wish it was something more of like something fun and light. That's why it's not dull. No, it's never dull, because challenges and trials are many. And ministry is very dynamic, as you all know, because we are dealing with lives. So those of you who are already in ministry for long, whether on staff or in laity, you know that. And in a way, I think trials in ministry and in lives are the organic kind of schools that God has signed us up for. So if you read the letter of James, just as Charity has shared with us, read the scripture text for today, you also understand the whole letter of James. He talked about trials in a certain way, that trials are like schools. And James encouraged the persecuted Jewish believers to consider it joy, right, when they go through trials or challenges of various kinds, because the trials that we go through are meant to grow our faith. And so for this particular kind of school, we would never really graduate from it until we meet Jesus face to face. And so this is what I want to talk about today. Give me a second as I get ready to share my slides. This is what I want to talk about today, because as it seems that we are going through trials of various kinds in so much greater measure these days, it's even more important and critical for us today to ensure that we have a good grasp of what the gospel is saying, to continue to listen, to continue to receive His word for our daily living, because we can either become better people because of the trials that we go through, or we can also become bitter people, depending on our understanding of who God is, depending on the understanding of our Christian faith. And that is what James was saying as well, that we need to humbly receive His word that can save our souls, in the preceding verse before today's main text, that we need to humbly receive His word that can save our souls. Here is a however. You know that it's not a complete picture, right? Because James also addressed to the believers that were going through trials. Yes, listening to God's word is crucial, but it's only half a battle won. And so as James encouraged the Jewish believers to accept and listen to God's word, and let me just read again the text that Charity has read. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says, and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. And so based on today's text, let me just put this simply. To grow and change through trials in life, you must do what God says to you. And in light of that, as a sister in Christ, I want to offer you one key reflective question based on what James was trying to say in this text. And I'll break this question into two parts. And the question is this: as you are receiving and acquiring understanding of God's word in the seminary, are you treating God's word as your mirror? Are you treating God's word as your mirror? You know the function of a mirror, right? When you look at yourself in the mirror, and if you do see something, like maybe right now, if I look at myself, because in Zoom, it's like you can really see yourself. You see a flaw and you see something that shouldn't be on your face, on your shirt, and if you're capable of doing something about it, would you just walk away and not do anything about it? Wouldn't it be silly of yourself if you see something's not right and not doing anything about it? And that's what James was saying about. You probably already know that the mirrors that James was talking about are not like the ones that we have now, where it's very clear and sharp, HD version. What they had back then was just a polished metal. And so if you were to look at your reflection with that kind of mirror, what you would see is just a very dim and warped reflection of yourself. So with that kind of mirror, if you just take a very quick glance, like what James was describing, you won't be able to see much. And you won't even remember what you have seen. The neurosciences will tell you that for you to remember details, you need to actually first take time to pay careful attention, give your focus to whatever you want to remember. Just a few weeks ago, I was at a wedding where the pastor himself used the mirror analogy in the marriage context. So those of you who are married, maybe you can understand this. The pastor said that your spouse is like a full-length mirror. Your spouse is like a full-length mirror because your spouse will reveal to you how you really are as a person. The good, the bad, and the ugly, everything, your spouse will be able to tell you that. Sometimes they tell you, your spouse may be telling you all that thing and you don't quite like it at times. And so for those who are married in our midst, you probably understand James' analogy even better. And because in the very same way, we can see that God's word has that effect of being a mirror. That as you read God's word, you are also inviting God's word to read you. And listening to God's word leads you to examine what is internal. So you could be a person A, where you took just a quick glance. In other words, you don't pay attention to the details, and therefore, it's very quick for you to forget all that you saw. You could be person B, where you see the flaw, you spotted the flaw that you saw in yourself in the mirror, but somehow, for whatever reason, you chose to leave without doing anything about what you have seen. But whether you're person A or person B, you are the first, you belong to the same first group of people that James was talking about, that you're just listening to God's word. Last week, I was sharing with one of my sisters in my church for prayer, because I'm going to preach today in BTS. And perhaps being young as a believer, she asked a very adorable question. She asked, oh, what kind of message do seminary students hear? I was quite tickled by her question, really, because it also reflected some kind of assumption that she had of seminary students, that they listen some kind of a higher level, more sophisticated kind of message. Or perhaps there's some perception that these are the group of people who know God's word super well. So what other kind of message do you all still need to hear? So in response to her question, I told her, it's quite similar to a regular Sunday service because they're also humans. They also get tempted. They also get tried. They also go through trials. And perhaps a lot more times than others. So they still need to hear the word of God, no matter how basic or simple it can be. Why am I sharing this? Because it took me some time to really prayerfully consider if I should share this text this morning with all of you, a group of seminarians and professors whose bulk of time is spent on God's word alone. And you guys are the most serious people about his word. Yet, I come to realize as I reflect on my own life that it is very possible for one to teach the deep things about God's word and yet not let God's word examine the deep recesses of our hearts and work through our lives. And so as the rubber meets the road, without us realizing it, we can also forget what God's word has said. So like what James has lovingly warned his audience, let's be careful that we don't deceive ourselves. Can I just say this? All of you brothers and sisters, as students in BTS, you all are actually in a very good environment where you have wonderful lecturers who make it a point to give you very practical assignments. I know that because I've been a student before. And many of the assignments do strengthen and expand your critical thinking. But I hope that you will also make full use of every assignment that you have that could allow you to engage with God's spirit and truth to first examine your heart, to examine your own life. I still remember as I was preparing for this message, I suddenly remembered in my first year, I was in Dr. Gary's OT background class. It was hilarious, as I recall, because many of us struggled a lot on this seemingly very simple assignment. All we have to do is to write our reflection based on our readings from the Old Testament text. But somehow, many people are struggling. And Dr. Gary, I do not know if you remember this, you had to keep reminding us, I just need you to share your reflection. You don't have to tell me what the text is saying. We struggle so much on that. Now I understand what Dr. Gary was exasperating over, because we can be very good in focusing on explaining the text, but we still struggle at times to internalize it and let God's word read us. But perhaps all of you here who are students now, you are all better students than I was. So you're not struggling much in that, and so you won't give much headache to Dr. Gary and other professors, I hope. So while you are here, while you are in BTS, to receive good handles and knowledge for God's ministry, those are very important. But please, please take it as a loving advice from a sister in Christ. Don't neglect what God wants to reveal to you about yourself, about your character, about your faith. Because when you see what God's word is saying to you, just like what James has said, don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Okay, there's some error on the slides, but let me just move on. And so what you need to do is that you just have to do these three things as James has contrasted with a second person who does it rightly. That you listen to God's word intently, you do what it says, and most importantly, you do not forget what you have heard. And James assured that God will bless you for doing it. All right. Building up to that reflecting question of whether you are using God's word as a mirror, the second part of a question is this. Are you using God's word as your mirror appropriately? Now, I thought it would be good to pay careful attention in how James described God's word in this context. And because we can see that James is implying that if you use God's word as your mirror appropriately, you will experience the result of his word liberating you. He's very purposeful and intentional to say about what the word of God does. It sets you free. And what a beautiful and wonderful reminder that James was telling to his readers and to us today, that God's word is purposed to liberate us and not to restrain us. And he does that work of liberation not by focusing on doing, on the doing. Meaning, although we read God's word, we know he always tells us what to do, what not to do. And even though James sounded like, okay, you must focus, you must do what God's word says. But doing what God says is primarily focused on the being. Meaning, his word sets you free by revealing to you who he is and who you are. Now, it's possible that we can use God's word as the mirror inappropriately in our lives, which would result his word being restraining instead of liberating. One possible scenario is this, that you do use God's word as your mirror, but at the same time, you bring a lot of different kinds of mirrors as well. You bring in the mirrors of people's opinions of God and ourselves. You bring in also the mirrors of our own opinions of God and ourselves through our own life experiences. And so we mix all that up and we ended up having not a very clear view, but a very warped view of God and ourselves. The second possible scenario is this, that when we look at ourselves in God's word as the mirror, all we focus is the ugly side that God's word has revealed to us about ourselves. And we get so discouraged and we feel condemned. But remember, when you look at yourself in the mirror, you can't possibly blame the mirror and say, hey, it's your fault, you point this problem to me. Why, mirror? So bad. But sometimes we do focus on so much on the ugly side of us, but we completely forget what his word also showed to us, who we are in Christ, the better version of us, of which the Spirit of God will actually enable us to live out that version. Now, since I've already given you this reflecting question, allow me to just share with you another, which I hope that it could help you reflect on this text more practically. Now, as you and I go through trials and live your life, what does the better version of me do if I look at who I am in Christ? I started to ask this question myself in my own daily living as I continue to serve in ministry, and ask this, what does the better version of faith do if I look at myself, who I am in Christ, in these circumstances, in this challenge, in whatever situation that God has put me through? What is the better version? What does the better version of faith do if I look at who I am in Christ? Those of you who know me very well, you know my struggles as I continue to do life with you. You know that there are times I have still caught myself going through trials in life with warped views of God and myself. And I've seen how they are not only detrimental to myself, I've seen how they're also detrimental to the people around me, to the ministry that I've been given by God. It's also detrimental on how I live my life as I go through different kinds of trials. And that is why I come to see that this instruction that's been given by James is a lifelong matter. It's not a once and for all kind of thing. And recently, as I was journeying with my church leaders through a program that BTF had for the Baptist churches, I realized this, whatever I'm struggling, it's not something that only I am struggling with. Anyone can be susceptible to be only hearers of God's word and not heed his word. Any one of us, even as we may think that we know God's word very well, the irony thing is that we actually could still have very warped views of him and ourselves. And so I thought perhaps there could be someone today in my beloved BTS family that you may benefit from hearing this familiar truth, yet a very needed reminder. I was just recalling the mindset that I had when I first enrolled to BTS for further studies. And it was a very simple mindset. I want to be equipped and be ready for his ministry. And I'm sure this mindset is not uncommon for many of you, because we all go through theological training to be equipped, isn't it? But I realized that my idea of being equipped might have been wrong, where it was just simply focusing on what is external, that I want to have a proper handle of his truth, that I want to acquire important skills for various ministry work. So if you were like me, that you have carried this mindset, whether you're in your first year or you're in your final semester or you're in between, in response to what James has said, can I encourage you? Would you be more conscientious? Would you choose to be more conscientious to carry out this other mindset? And that is this. Let your season of your training in BTS be a time to let God's truth serve as a mirror to read and examine your inner life. Now, I'm sure to a certain extent, God has helped you realize along the way, right? That he's more concerned first doing a work in your life, in your heart, before he fully uses you to minister to others. And what I'm encouraging you today is that while you're acquiring a lot of skills, good handles, knowledge that's important for ministry, would you also prayerfully seek God to help you pay more careful attention to what kind of change that he wants to do in your life from the inside out? Perhaps what you're hearing today isn't a new thing, because I do not know what messages that you've been hearing all this while. I was half thinking, would there be someone who have preached this message before recently? I was suddenly thinking, it's okay. Then it means it's an affirmation that God wants you all to hear it again. So if you feel that way, then that's great. This would just be an affirmation or reiteration or reminder from God. Because I'm sure in the recent years, you have heard of many Christian leaders who were influential, whose ministries have made significant impact in the Christian community over the recent many years. But suddenly they have either publicly announced that they have decided to leave the Christian faith, or they're going through some form like deconstruction season, or they have been reported about their moral failures. Actually, these are nothing new if you have studied History of Christianity 1 and 2. But perhaps we do feel the heat increasingly more these days. And I believe these stories have made you want to examine your life as well. And I'm sure you have come to recognize the condition of your inner life is deeply critical for your future ministry. So I believe all of you here aspire to become a better teacher, a better minister, a better preacher, or a better pastor. But would you all the more always first trust God more to sanctify you and to shape you as a better person in Christ? Because out of that, you will become a better preacher, a better pastor, a better teacher, a better minister of God's word when you first focus on what is the first critical thing: becoming and being shaped to be a better person in Christ. So brothers and sisters, let's press on to grow. Let's press on to live our lives that are liberated by God, what God says about who he is and who you are in him. I learned something new about a hymn that we often sing in our church, the song called Trust and Obey. We sing so much until at some point our worship leaders would say, I'm very tired of singing this song. But I recently went to find out the story of how this hymn came about, and it helped me to appreciate the meaning behind this song again. And it actually came about during one of D.L. Moody's revival meetings in 1887. Maybe some of the lecturers know the story. And a young man who had just given his life to Jesus Christ reportedly heard saying, "I am not quite sure, but I am going to trust and obey." So, inspired by what was uttered, the music director of Moody Bible Institute, he wrote this hymn, "Trust and Obey." And I believe I'm speaking to a whole group of brothers and sisters who have lived your life trusting and obeying God. That is why you are here. But there will also be times that you and I will struggle like the young man, because none of us here is exempted from doubt due to struggles and discouragements. And so the act of trusting is a daily response. It's a daily choice that we can give to God. And like the young man, we can cry out to God, especially that when there are times when we can say that, "I'm not quite sure, God. God, it's very hard to do this. I don't know what to do. I don't know what you're doing in this situation. I don't know what you're doing in this COVID, but I'm going to trust and obey." And so, like one of the verses that say this, "But we never can prove the delights of his love until all on the altar we lay. And for the favor he shows, for the joy he bestows, are for them who will trust and obey." And I just want to invite all of us to take this time to respond as Charity will share the hymn with us as we will listen and respond to God.